This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Horse people, this is Coach Jen from Ocala, Florida, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for March 21st, 2013, episode 619.
Good morning!
It's Thursday.
Let's kick the tires and light the fires, Big Daddy.
Your presence is required on the command deck.
Yes, it's Thursday, so that means you only have one day left to surf the web for off-kilter classifieds, email them to jennifer@horseradionetwork.com with bad ads in the subject line. On tomorrow's live show, like we do every Friday, the reading of the ads will reveal the top two, to whom we will present a Uncle Jimmy's Box of Balls and Buns and Sport Horse Confirmation by Christian Schott. Now grab your pitchfork or your car keys, depending upon your schedule, and enjoy this driving radio episode featuring Chester Weber and his take on the 2013 Live Oak Combined Driving event taking place right now here in Ocala, Florida, photographer John Robinson, and the lowdown on upcoming driving shows with the American Driving Society's Susie Kusacker.
This is Glenn McGee.
And I'm Wendy Ying, and you're listening to the Driving Radio Show on the Horse Radio Network.
Well, howdy, Wendy.
Hi, Glenn.
Well, we have a special guest with us right off the top here because she was so excited about something that you took her to do that she wanted to come on the show and talk about it a little bit. We have Coach Jen from the Horse Tip Daily Show and also my lovely wife.
Hi, everybody. Hi, Coach Jen. We're so happy you're here.
I get to hang out with the cool driving people.
That's right. That's right. You do. We'll let you do that every once in a while.
Thanks.
You also got to hang out at a cool driving or carriage museum, and you were so excited when you got back. You went down with Wendy to see a demonstration and then also the carriage museum, and I thought she would come back all excited about the demonstration, Wendy. All she could talk about was the carriage museum.
I know. It's great.
So tell us where you went and what the story was.
Well, I was at the Grand Oaks Resort. I had never been to the Carriage Museum before, and it was a private collection, which is now open to the public, thus Carriage Museum, of all sorts of different horse-drawn or animal-drawn carriages. And I expected to see a big building full of carriages, which it is. But there's so much more. It was just, it's an awesome, awesome location for the whole family because they talk about how the carriages were made and why and their functions and who made them and the history of the people who made them and the cultural influences that made them look the way they did or function the way they did and all kinds of cool stuff. And they even have cars.
It's really awesome. And Gloria Austin is just such a history buff. And I think that when you go there, you really experience like how much work she put into it and how much of her heart she put into that. Because it's more than just going to look at carriages. There's all these descriptions of everything. You learn something new every time you go there.
Yeah, the amount of information that they dug out and information about carriages, driving, the stuff that they have on those plaques, lots of plaques to read, is not easy to find. They really put a lot of time into this.
Now, you were also impressed by the horses. You know, a lot of times you go to these museums and you see the big plastic horses that you can buy and they're pulling the carriages. But that isn't the case at this carriage museum, is it?
No, they had the models, the mannequins, so to speak, custom designed by a sculptor whose name I would know if a certain fellow member of the Horse Radio Network staff hadn't lost the pictures. I would know his name, but I don't right now, so folks, you'll have to tune in later for that.
That'd be me.
but they were custom sculpted from real horses. He took measurements and pictures and stuff. And it's so neat because you go through the museum and the horses all have different expressions on their faces and their lips are shaped different. They're different horses. And I was trying to get pictures without any anachronisms in them, because depending on how the lighting is, it's like, wait a minute. They're really, really lifelike and impressive. It's just really neat that way.
Yeah, and a lot of the different horses are like, suit the carriage. I think that's why she did that, because there's different horses that would pull different kinds of carriages.
Yes.
And that's really important for your turnout. Like if you have a big fat, draft pony, you don't want to be pulling a fancy gig that's supposed to be pulled by like a high stepping skinny hackney.
Yes.
You know,
you're right. I didn't even think about that when I was looking at them. I was just amazed at the variety of the expressions and the conformation and stuff. But you're right. The ones that are pulling the competition type carriages look very different than the horses they have hitched to an old cab.
You know, right.
You're right.
Or the coach or like the stagecoach, you know, that was pulled by quarter horses.
Mm-hmm.
So you couldn't put like lipizzanas to the... You could put lipizzanas to the stagecoach, but it wouldn't look authentic.
Right.
So,
You would say anybody coming down to Florida, if you're going anywhere near Orlando, to take a ride up and see the Carriage Museum if you're at all interested in carriages.
If you are a history buff, whether it be wheeled vehicles or culture, they even have clothing from the period at a lot of the displays.
Mm-hmm.
So for people who are into fashion and how fashion developed, because what people wore is directly related to how they traveled. They have stuff from the military. They have firefighting stuff. They even have a mail cart. And if the price of gas keeps going up, they're going to start using that again. They're going to take it out of the mail.
It's all the post office is going to be able to afford here soon.
Yes. So I absolutely positively recommend it. And you can have a nice light lunch after. They have a little cafe there that has good food. And I tried the red velvet cupcake and it was yummy.
Oh, you did get one of those?
I
was
going to
think about good.
Now that, and you can find out more about it. Just go to thegrandoaks.com. It's thegrandoaks.com and click on Carriage Museum. Well, thank you, Jennifer. We appreciate you joining us to talk a little bit about that.
You're welcome.
Well, we have a variety show planned for you today. We're going to find out from Wendy how Black Prong did go over the weekend. Of course, we recorded last week's show there. We have a preview of the big event coming up here at Live Oak next week with Chester Weber. Of course, that's his place over there at Live Oak. So he'll home turf for him. He'll talk to us a little bit about Live Oak. We have part two of our leg protection series. We have Susie from the American Driving Society. And you got an interview with a photographer that you know pretty well at Live Oak at Black Prong over the weekend, right?
Yep, I talked to John Robinson of Pics of You Photography, and he's from Virginia, so I met him way back when I was living in Virginia. And he goes to not only does he do horse shows, but he does motorcycle racing, so he's a fun guy. And he's been doing Black Prong for many, many years, and he usually. Even though he's working, you know, being a photographer at these shows, you can just imagine the amount of things he has to process there. But he always likes to hang out at the campfire or whatever. He just, he really gets into the Black Prong spirit. So I thought it'd be nice for him to share some memories with us.
Very good. Well, we're going to go first to Susie from the American Driving Society with the update from them this week. Well, we have Susie back with us from the American Driving Society and an update on upcoming shows.
Yeah, we've just started the omnibus process for the year for the July to December calendar. And we have quite a few new shows in the lineup for this year. Plus, we have a new show that's sneaked in. It's actually going to be in April. And that's going to be at the Florida Horse Park. It's going to be the Florida Horse Park Pleasure Days. That's April 20th and 21st. And the way to get information on that show is to go to the AmericanDrivingSociety.org page and go to the omnibus section and click on the link there for this show. This show does not appear in the printed omnibus because it didn't make the first edition.
I haven't heard anything about this.
It's a brand new show. The Florida Horse Park is getting started. Ellen Ettinger is the new events coordinator over there, and she definitely wants to get more driving stuff because she's a driver, and so she wants to get a few more events that are driving related out there, and this is going to be one of the first ones. And this is also part of the Florida Triple Crown for pleasure shows. So participants, in order to qualify for the Triple Crown, there's three shows. And the first one is the Purely Pleasure Show in 2012, and then the Grand Oaks Show in 2013, and now the Florida Horse Park Pleasure Show, Pleasure Days in the Park. And so everybody that enters that gets to be part of the new Florida Pleasure Triple Crown Championship. Hmm. So that's something new that the Florida drivers are doing. So this should be kind of fun for that event down there.
Well, I'll have to go watch that. That's right, not too far from me.
Yeah, it's definitely a new show.
Wendy,
and
you're going to have to bring a big hat up and come watch with us.
I know. I think I want to drive in that.
That'd be fun.
Yeah,
bring a horse up there. That'd be great.
And can we put a big driving radio show banner on the back of the carriage, or do they frown upon that at the pleasure shows?
Well, there is this class called Turnout, and that...
we have a pretty banner. Does that count?
It matches my turnout.
Hey, we could put a little sign in the back of your hat, Wendy.
Oh, yeah, that'd be good.
We got to be like the race car guys where we just, you know, put the branding all over.
I can see stickers on a horse now.
Yeah,
like...
we're going to be putting them on their butts and yeah everywhere. Yeah. Hey, and with carriages, there's a lot more place to put it with the riders.
True.
Yeah. I think I'd have a problem sticking a sticker to my beautiful antique vehicle, though. But that's just me, you know. Some other people may be willing to do that. That's fine.
So you don't want to see STP bumper stickers all over your vehicle? Or?
No. You know, I saw a great thing on Facebook one time that said, you know, about tattoos and people putting tattoos on themselves and stuff like that. And the guy's comment was, do you ever see a bumper sticker on a Ferrari?
No.
So, you know, why would you see a tattoo on somebody that was, you know, very attractive? Anyway.
I think that's a whole nother subject that we should cover on the driving radio show.
So don't tattoo up your carriages. Leave them beautiful and pristine.
All right. Be that way. So that's in April. And what else is coming up?
Right. And there is another new show. This is in Iowa, another pleasure show called the Eastern Iowa Carriage Classic. And this show is brand new, and it's going to be held at this great facility. It's called the Catalapa Horse Park. And I probably just completely mispronounced that name, but it's Catalpa Horse Park. And it's actually a 3-day eventing facility. So it's got great rolling terrain, it's got a covered bridge, water crossing, it has all the amenities. And one of the fun classes they're going to have is they're doing a carriage glow class at dusk on Saturday. So, and they're going to have a pianist and everything there for this class. It's going to be super cool because it has to do with a full moon. And being able to be out in your carriage and all dressed up with the lamps lit and all that kind of stuff. So something fun for Iowa carriage drivers and those in the Midwest that are traveling to that show. And that's brand new this year. So we're pretty excited about that. I actually might be able to get to go to that one. I've got that on my calendar.
That sounds fun. That sounds really fun.
Yeah, first part of June, June 1 and 2. And then there is another resurgence of some new combined driving events that are going to be in California. In September, the 14th through the 15th, there's going to be the new Golden State CDE. So that's going to be a new event, and that will have more information on the Omnibus. We're just getting all this information in right now, so I don't have all the details on that one yet. And then there's also another new show in Wind Ridge Farm and HDT. That's November 2nd through the 3rd down in the Carolinas. So that's a new HDT in their area. So lots of neat, new, fun things that you can go to this coming 2013, second half of the year.
It does seem like we're seeing a lot of new shows like we haven't in the last couple of years.
Yeah, and you'll notice a lot of them are smaller shows. You know, we're seeing a big trend for people to start doing more HDTs, ADTs, smaller, little bit less complicated for organizers to run type shows, so they can have activities for local clubs and, you know, attract more people from surrounding communities to participate as well.
Very good. Well, and of course, they can find all of that information at AmericanDrivingSociety.org. Thank you, Susie. Yep. We'll talk to you again next week.
Keep track on all that stuff. Now, those postings will be up in a couple weeks. They're not all going to be up on the website right away because we do the printed omnibus first, and then we do the final on the web.
Is your driving horse not drinking enough? Whether it's from weather changes, minor illnesses, trailer and traveling stress, there are many reasons you'll have a horse refuse to drink sufficiently. Yet being fully hydrated is the first line of defense against minor issues becoming major, and a great way to make sure your horses are ready to perform optimally in competition or just enjoy a pleasure drive. There is a product that helps even the pickiest of drinkers drink more, all-natural horse quencher. Listen to what four-in-hand champion Chester Weber has to say about it.
Since I was introduced to Horse Quencher, I've been wildly impressed with its ability to keep the horses in the water buckets drinking, and it's given me real peace of mind. One often doesn't know they need a product until they're introduced to it, and this was a product I didn't know I needed at all, but due to the traveling that we do, it's been really helpful. It's also been very helpful with horses that, you know, are a little colicky or something like that. We'll always hang a bucket in their stall. You know, they'll drink more, and their general health will just be better.
Take it from Chester Weber. Horse Quencher is the all-natural product you want to help your horses drink as much as they should. Find it at your local feed store or tack shop or online at horsequencher.com. That's horsequencher.com. Well, we appreciate Horse Quencher's support. I kept Jennifer around a little bit here to talk about Horse Quencher because our horse speaker just loves this stuff.
Much to my surprise, I did not expect Beaker to buy into the whole concept because he's a little bit of a treat snob. You know, I don't like that flavor of treat. But I put it into a small amount of water, which is what the directions recommended since I had not used it before. And now I can put the little amount in like 2 gallons of water. And by golly, if he doesn't just drag me over to the bucket and suck it up, it's awesome.
Yeah, and he was a pretty picky drinker, especially when you take him away on trail
rides.
Yeah,
when you take him away from home, sometimes he drinks, sometimes he doesn't. But what I do is every third or fourth time when I'm riding him, I have some there. So he's used to coming across it and it's expected because he likes it. So that way, when I go away, I can make sure he drinks because we get done riding. He sees a bucket of Horse Quencher there. He's going, oh, yes, I get my treat when I'm done riding. It's something that is part of his routine. And I'm thrilled with it.
That's horsequencher.com. Thank you, Jennifer. Well, now, how did everything go at Black Prong? We were there on Friday night and recorded last week's show. If you missed it, take a listen. But you were there all weekend competing and doing your thing. Now, we had Judy on, who was competing against her husband, Philip. And Judy was the big thing that she was so upset about is she came in a little bit behind after dressage. How did the rest of the weekend go for that couple, that couple that competes more than any couple I've ever seen?
Okay, well, I can only hope that she's not listening to the show.
Oh, no.
It was like one of the funniest shows because Philip and Judy were competing against each other, just like husband and wife competing, right?
And they take this very seriously.
Yes, they're both super competitive. So Judy's kind of aggravated that she's losing by 9 points in dressage. So, but the ponies went great. So we won marathon, and I was navigating for Judy. We had an awesome marathon. We won every hazard except for one. And we come out of the fourth hazard, and we're passing. You know, sometimes you pass people on course. And Phil goes, well, Jude, you won. I had a correction of course in the fourth hazard.
Which means what?
Which means he, oh, my God, this was also funny. He went to A, gate A, and then had to turn around and come right, just go straight into B. And D was right next to B, but it took a lot of driving to get over there. So, of course, instead of just going straight, he went right and he went into D.
Oh, so he was off course.
So he was off course, but he corrected it. So he got 20 penalties. But 20 penalties, I mean, that's a lot, right? I mean,
yeah.
That's huge. So he's like, you've got it, Jude. So we finish. So Philip and I went and we checked the scores. And his 20 penalties aren't on there. So the judge, the hazard judge, must not have seen it, because, you know, there's the people that watch your course and make sure you go.
There's volunteers at every obstacle.
Right, but the volunteers. So he's like, okay, don't tell Jude. So we didn't tell her, and then she found out, and it was past the protest time. And then now she's really aggravated because you only have 30 minutes to protest a bad call. So
she's going to turn her husband in.
Yeah. So then we're standing outside of Cones, and he had this plan. He's like, okay, well, I'll just go in and knock over as many cones as it takes for Judy to win. Because that was his plan. Because this is just a little joke. He would never like cheat her like that, you know? So I'm holding his pony for him outside. He's sitting in the carriage. I'm just heading her. And I'm watching to see how many balls Judy gets. So I'm like, she's clean so far. She's clean so far. So he was only going to have to knock over 2 cones. Then all of a sudden I hear the whistle blow, and she got eliminated because she drove through cone 10 backwards.
Oh, she went the wrong way too? Wasn't their weekend, was it?
No, so now Philip and I are standing there like, oh. So now what's he going to do?
Because she's eliminated.
There's no way she can win now. So he's like, oh, okay. But so he's like, I'll just go clean and fast. So he went. He was actually the fastest time of the day, but he knocked one ball. But then they were going to switch ponies. So then we're like, okay, fine, the show's over. But they were going to switch ponies and do a demo, because they did that at another show where they switched the ponies and then they ran the cones again. So we switched ponies. So then all of a sudden, the pony that Judy was driving, Phillip's now in the carriage with it, and some stuff comes out of her mouth. I thought that her teeth were falling out. And it ends up her bit had broken. Her rubber bit.
Oh, wow.
Had broken. So
you don't hear
Chester,
about that a lot.
I know. So we took her out of the carriage immediately. Like, they, you know, we couldn't run it. So Chester, who was our head judge, he came over to Judy and gave her a blue ribbon because Philip lost by default in the cones for equipment failure. And then Philip said, but this is her equipment. And Chester said, that was a pony you were showing at the time.
That's funny.
So Judy ended up winning.
That's funny. Judy, she's lucky that didn't break while she was in cones with the pony to begin with, you know?
Yeah, and I think that was because the pony was acting a little bit funny going into cones, and I think what was happening was it was starting to come apart. So we're really lucky. It could have been really dangerous.
Yeah, that's something you don't hear about too often.
No. It was the plastic coating. So every once in a while, stuff happens. There was still metal in there, but
doesn't last forever.
And it was a really great show for everybody. Luann Arney was there with her mules. And then Casey was there showing the four in hand, Casey Zubek. The weather was fantastic. And then, you saw it up on Friday too. Everybody was really excited. It was kind of a party atmosphere being the 10-year anniversary.
Yep.
So
it was a good weekend had by all.
Yep.
In Florida.
Good weekend had by all.
Very good. Well, terrific.
Do you have a company in the horse world? Are you looking to get the word out about your products, services, or shows? At the Horse Radio Network, we understand our advertisers need to reach the equestrian consumer in the most efficient, cost-effective way possible. Internet radio shows like this one, also called podcasts, allow the flexibility and creativity to craft unique messages that stand out from the herd and reinforce your existing marketing and social media strategies. If you want to learn more about advertising on this show or any of our shows on the Horse Radio Network, contact us at Glenn with two N's at horseradionetwork.com, or you can call us at 859-951-2022. Our listeners are terrific, engaged, and avid horse people, the ones that you are looking for.
Well, we had a chance. You know, one of the things everybody that is into CDEs looks forward to every year is really the biggest event of the year, as far as carriage driving, right here in the United States, and that is the Live Oak International. It is coming up next week. Wendy and I will be there. We got our press passes, and we'll be over there. We're going to be recording the driving radio show next week. It'll be delayed in coming out because we're recording it Sunday next Sunday. So there will be no show earlier in the week next week. It'll come out on later in the day on Sunday. We're going to be recording it right from location over there, hopefully getting a lot of good guests live on the air there. Thank you to the good people over at Live Oak for putting that together. But we had a chance to catch up with Chester about Live Oak and to talk to him a little bit about what this means to him and the history of it. So let's take a listen to that. Well, of course, we can't start a show about Live Oak without having Chester Weber on the show first. So welcome, Chester.
Thank you, guys.
I'm so excited because this is the first year that I actually live close enough that I can go over to Live Oak every day, and it's only like 4 miles from my house.
You could walk.
I could. I could ride my bike, actually.
I should ride my bike.
Probably be easier. So when did Live Oak start as a show, and why did it start?
So this will be year number 21. It's sort of interesting. I originally started my driving career with draft horses, and
I didn't know that.
Yeah, with driving Clydesdales up to 6
oh,
and 8.
I didn't know that.
And then I, my father and mother were very supportive of me, and I went off to prep school in New Jersey that happened to be just down the road from Jimmy Fairclough's place. And when they heard that I drove horses, they said, "Oh, you have to meet this guy who lives in the neighborhood, Jimmy Fairclough." He was actually went to the same high school as I did, Blair Academy. And so I met him, and I leased a horse from him and drove a couple shows and sort of got hooked on the sport. And then the local sort of driving club, who was at that time sort of spearheaded by Susan Gilliland, who was living in Tampa at the time, had sort of come to my dad and mom and said, "Hey, could we maybe run the marathon portion of a competition at Live Oak?" And of course, my family said, "Yeah, that's great. Our son does that. That's fine. We can do that in this cow field." And so 20 years ago, they had their, or 21 years ago, the first show went on there. The original, probably 8 years, the dressage and cones went on over near OBS, Ocala Breeder Sales, at that time it was the Ocala Arabian.
Oh, near the airport?
Yeah, near the airport, exactly. So about 4 miles away is where the dressage and cones went on. Hey. And that's somebody's phone.
That's mine. I'm sorry. I thought I had it off. You think after all these episodes, I don't know how to turn my own phone off. All right, go.
Anyway, so the dressage and cones went on over there, and they would, and we built some hazards at Live Oak, and started having a really good show. I actually wasn't even at the first couple shows, but Susan and Joe, her husband, the Combies, Rick Williams, a huge enthusiastic group, built some obstacles, and people would drive out there during the day to walk the hazards, and then they'd drive the trailers out there during the day, and then probably 10 years into it, we decided, you know, it's probably better if we build a real grass dressage ring and not have the cones sort of half inside the indoor and half outside the indoor. It was local.
All the cows off that field.
Exactly. So we took some cows off the field, built the stabling area out there, and the rest is history. Now we get about 5,000 spectators on Saturday to watch the cross country. And again, a few thousand on Sunday come and watch the cones driving. And last year we added a CSI two-star of show jumping, and we've attracted several Olympic medalists. I think we have two Olympic medalists coming from the Even to London Olympics. We have a few world champions in show jumping, the likes of Ben Mayer, Rodrigo Pessoa, people like that coming back to Live Oak this year. And so Saturday's a really exciting day. You can, from 9 o'clock in the morning, you can watch the excitement of the cross-country marathon. That all finishes it up at about quarter to two, and then at 2 o'clock we have a $50,000 Grand Prix of jumping, and it's the synergy between the two sports has been really great, and great for the press and for the driving world. It's really brought out a myriad of horse spectators that, whether they're really interested in horses or interested in Pacifinos or racehorses or whatever they're interested in, they just come out because it's a great day to, you know, as many people say, well, it's like going to watch Ben-Hur in the morning and then you watch, you know, horses jump in the afternoon. So that's been a bit the history of Live Oak. Susan has been at the helm since the beginning, and certainly she'll be there for many more years, we hope.
Can I ask you a question, even going back a little bit further than that? I heard a story last week, and I don't know if it's true or not. That's what I want to find out. That your mom had gone to look for a place in Lexington first. Yeah. And the weather was bad or something, and then she said, well, the heck with this. I'm just going south.
That's the history of Live Oak. So my mom was looking at some farms in Lexington, Kentucky, and then she was going to come and look at one or two farms in Ocala when she had decided to get more seriously involved in the racing business and wanted to purchase a farm. And the day she was in Lexington was a February day, and it was snowing and blowing and, probably an ice storm. She arrived in Ocala, Florida, and, the next day, and it was Chamber of Commerce sort of take the photos, 70-something degree, sunny, beautiful day, fields green. And she just, she said, well, there was no decision to make. So since then, that was just around 45 years ago, my family's been called home Ocala, Florida. I was actually even born there.
Did they actually land? Was the Ocala airport actually there at the time?
Yeah, I think Jim Taylor.
So what'd she do? Just fly in and say, I want that piece of ground right next to the airport right there?
Well, it's not next. It's not next to the ground, but it's about 4 miles from the airport. Yeah. But I think she flew into the Ocala airport, and it was pretty obvious when you the plane door closed in Lexington, and it was an ice storm, and it opened in Ocala, Florida, and it's 70 degrees and sunny. My mom is, it must be a hereditary trait. I'm a little bit thin-blooded. I don't really care for the cold weather, and I think I certainly got that from my mother.
And that was reinforced when he was sent to school in New Jersey.
There's no doubt, and as I say to many people, after going to prep school in New Jersey, I went to Cornell in Ithaca, New York, which is you can see the end of the world on a clear day in Ithaca, and talk about bad weather, for sure. Ezra Cornell decided to put that school there in July. Needless to say, school students are not there in July. But after my junior year, there was no question. I had decided that I would make Florida my home. For even people like you, Florida's inevitable. Everybody's going to move there at some stage. So I thought I'd just pack up my stuff and move from Ithaca down to Florida. We have my family had a wonderful training facility, and I think right now Live Oak is probably second to none in the world of a fantastic place to train out of.
Well, thanks so much, Chester. We're all really looking forward to this show up and coming. And I think Glenn's going to be very excited because it's first time.
It's first time, yeah.
And maybe you can join us when we're over there if you have time. I know you're going to be competing, but maybe you can join us.
I'm a little bit like a one-armed wallpaper hanger during Live Oak, but certainly you guys are old friends and we'll make time for you. And we're so excited that the Horse Radio Network will be a media partner of ours here at Live Oak, and happy to have you out there. And thanks. We hope we can attract many of your listeners to come and be with us.
Thank you, Chester.
Oh, well, I'm so looking forward to going to this show. This is my favorite time of year. I can't wait.
I used to be my first time there, so I'm really excited about it.
I know, and now you're a local, so you're going to have to go every year now.
I know, and I can go every day. I mean, I live five. It really will take me longer to park over there than it does to drive there. So
That's right.
I should ride my bike.
You should, and there's lots of shopping, too. Jennifer's going to have a fun time.
Oh, great.
Well, and so now, Glenn, also, I don't know if you saw our Facebook yet today, but here's a shout-out to Geir Kanstead of Colorado, who posted to our page. He's a four-in-hand driver out there. I'm friends with him on Facebook. I love seeing his horses and what he's putting together. So thank you so much for listening to our show, and maybe you can come on and talk to us sometime.
Yeah, I think he wrote thanks for another great show on our Facebook page. We appreciate the feedback, and we like to know that people are listening. And we'll have to get him on sometime because we don't do a whole lot with the West Coast. We need to probably do more of that.
All right, our last interview is my good friend John Robinson, who's a photographer with Pix of You. And, I'm kind of nerdy, right, Glenn? You know that.
Yeah.
So when I met John, I was so excited.
In a nice way.
Yeah, in a nice way. Because I used to go to the shows and do videos of all the horses, and then it would take me hours to get them up on YouTube and blah, blah, blah. Because this is like back in 2004, right? I mean, we didn't have like video on your phone or anything like that.
And connections to the internet were slow.
Oh, my God. Dial up. How did I ever survive? But what I loved about John and Pics of You is he came with this little trailer. He took all your photos, and then you could go into the trailer, and he had all these self-serve cams set up, and you just click through it. You know, I saw him as another, like, techie person, and we became fast friends, and I'm really glad that he started doing the driving shows. It's just a pleasure to have around, and he is going to tell us about some of his fondest memories of Black Prong.
Okay, I'm here with John Robinson, and we're going to have Pics of You photography, and we're talking about his best memories of the Black Prong CDE. So welcome, John, to the Driving Radio Show.
Thank you. Good to be here. Love your office.
Thanks. It's mobile. So, John, you've been the photographer here for many, many years.
And, eight years.
Eight years. Yep. And you get to know the competitors and Maureen and Alan. And so give us some of your best memories.
Some of the best memories I have at Black Prong, let's see. They go on and on and on and on. The bonfires are really, really nice.
Oh,
a lot of people don't even remember those.
Yeah.
But those were some
We had a big one last night.
Oh, did you really?
Yeah.
I missed that one.
Because you're working.
So that was just a memory.
Because you're working overnight.
Yeah, I was working. The competitors.
Mm-hmm.
Seeing the competitors, you know, from the younger competitors growing up.
And
even the older competitors and seeing their horses age a little bit.
The years.
Yep. Yeah. Mm-hmm. My dog, I remember him biting everybody's golf cart tires. Boomer. Everybody remembers Boomer.
Yeah.
So Boomer's still around. He's 16.
Yeah.
So that's good.
Oh, that's hard to believe.
Yep. Yeah. It's very hard to believe that it's 10 years that Black Prong's been here.
Yeah.
I mean, that's really amazing. I think everybody got their own memories of it.
Mm-hmm.
And the more you talk to people, I think it really comes out.
Yeah.
And things that you forgot.
Right.
And then somebody will say, oh, you remember about, you know, this one, or you remember about this time, remember when we did the cones across the street, or, you know, everything like that. And then people start remembering. So I think there's too many memories.
Yeah.
And there's too many, honestly, there's good people.
Right.
That's what I remember most, is the good people and all the friends that I really met.
Well, I think that really shows up in your candids. I always like to go through your candid photos.
Yeah.
You know, when I come in here, even if I'm not showing, that's the first thing I do.
Yeah. Candids are definitely the funnest, without a doubt. You know, I enjoy those more than anything, without a doubt.
Oh, you know, one of the stories we've told a couple times on this show so far is the four-in-hand runaway. Jim Rich.
Oh, yes. I remember very well. Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
So was that, as a photographer, was that an exciting moment?
It was. It was a very, very exciting moment.
So you must have, you were there shooting that hazard, right, when it happened?
Yep. Well, that was David O'Connor,
mm-hmm.
was trying the first time four-in-hand,
mm-hmm.
and that was the first time I actually met his mother.
Oh, okay.
Because I met his mother, and I said, I have a beautiful picture of your son. And she says, oh, I have every picture imaginable of my son. I said, I don't think you have a picture like this.
Oh, so you gave her the whole series?
Yep. And she says, oh, my God, out of all the pictures I have, this is one that I will show him forever,
right.
And it will always haunt him forever.
Right. Well, that's funny. That's, you know, I think when we look at the eventing jumps, you think, oh, wow, that's dangerous. And they say, oh, no, what you do is dangerous. And we think, no way. And you see something like that. And then you're like, oh, yeah.
Exactly.
It's not only dangerous to us, it's dangerous to the bystanders.
Yes. Yep. And I think if I could say something, that's the biggest thing is bystanders. The way the driving community is, it's so relaxed as far as where you can go and spectator friendly.
Yeah.
That the spectators need to be careful.
Right.
And because when you come to this sport, you're not just walking into the sport, watching the sport, enjoying the sport. You're becoming a part of the sport.
Right.
So I think for spectators, that's the biggest thing.
Yeah.
That's the biggest thing possible. You know,
is
spectators, if you've never seen driving, carriage driving events, or CDEs or HDTs, come out, watch it.
Right.
Because you will be a part of it. It's probably the only sport. You know, you're not in an arena, you're sitting in a stands like a baseball game, and you can cheer for your favorite team. No, you're getting involved.
Right.
You can volunteer, you can set up cones, you can, I mean, that's where all the candidates come from.
Yeah.
You know, that's where the candidates come from.
And you do other sports, too, besides carriage driving, right?
We do.
What else do you do?
We do street racing, motorcycle racing.
Mm-hmm.
We do street racing, and now we actually just opened a portrait studio.
So we're
doing portraits and weddings.
Maureen told me that you are you're going to cover her family reunion up in Massachusetts,
up in Boston. Yep.
Well, that just shows how much, you know, people get involved and make good friendships because you're going all the way up to Boston to do Maureen's family reunion.
Yep.
So that's great.
Yep.
So that's great. So is there anything you want to say to them at their 10-year anniversary?
Yeah, actually, I would love to say, Alan, Maureen, thank you so much for everything. You really gave me the start. Mm-hmm. Wendy, you definitely got me started in this. I mean, you introduced me to all the people that you know, you saw us at Dressage Show. And you said, oh, my God, we got to get you to do this. And I was like, what the hell is that? You know, and it took off from there. But I really, I got to say thank you to Wendy, honestly.
Oh, no problem.
And I'm not just
saying that. We're Virginia buddies.
There you go. There you go. And I got to really say, Alan, Maureen, I owe you guys a lot. Because you guys started me in this business. You guys got me going. You got me to all the shows and things like that. And, you know, this is definitely my favorite show. It's my home show. And I really, really appreciate it. Yeah. The tear rolls down my eye.
Yeah, well, you know, that's the thing that we always talk about, how to grow the sport. And that's really how you grow the sport. You just bring in good people to the sport. And I think Alan and Maureen have really done that with this property and their wonderful hospitable attitude.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And we cover a lot of shows. You know, we cover a lot of the CDs up and down the whole East Coast. You know, and like you said, the hospitality and just the friendship alone.
Yeah.
You know, Alan and Maureen will do anything for anybody.
Yeah.
You know, they really honestly will. You know, they're good people.
Yeah.
And that's the biggest thing.
Yeah. Being at their show is like being at a house party for the weekend with them.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. It's a family reunion.
Yeah.
And that's why when you say, you know, to step back a little bit and you asked me, you know, what's the 10 years, over 10 years, what's my biggest memory?
Yeah.
You know, honestly, It's like yesterday. It's like you go home for Christmas, you see your family.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, and every year we're here, and it's like going back to your family. So when you say, well, you know, do you have a memory? You know, it's
you have a million.
Yeah, exactly. There's just millions of memories, and there's more and more coming. But I really, I can't say thank you enough to everybody.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, John, how can people find you on the internet?
Picsofyou.com. It's PICSOFYOU.com. Do not go to Pics For You. It's a bad site.
Oh, really?
So it's Pics Of You. And we also have an archive. So if you're looking for older photos, you can go to picsofyou.com and then click on older photos or past events. And there's archives all the way back to 2004 or 5, I think we got.
Oh, really?
It goes all the way
great.
Back to then. So you can just go there and browse and see other competitors and just...
And they can buy their old photos online?
Yep, absolutely.
And
absolutely.
And you're based out of where?
We're actually based out of Charlottesville, Virginia.
Okay.
So...
All right. Well, thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, you're welcome. Thanks for having me, and I'm glad to be a part of Black Prong's 10th year anniversary.
Well, I'm so excited for next week, Wendy. One, to see Live Oak in person, but also to get to cover it for the show and to get to record a show from there. It's always fun doing on-location recordings. And I'm excited for the audience to get to hear that. And one of the cool things, too, as Chester mentioned, about Live Oak is they're doing a jumper show that's going to be going on. They also do a car show on Sunday, and I hear that's pretty popular as well.
Yeah, the antique cars are really, really incredible.
Which is cool to see, you know, because obviously the early cars came right after the carriages, so it's really cool to see those two put together. It's and of course, the Live Oak's about 8,000 square acres, so there's plenty of room for it.
Yeah, it's pretty big.
Takes 20 minutes. We did this one day. You know, over at Chester's Live Oak Farm there's a road that goes around the edge of the farm, a public road. And you take the road around the edge of the farm, and it takes 20 minutes.
Yeah, I wouldn't doubt it. It's like... Whenever I go down 40, I'm like, okay, Live Oak starts here.
Yeah.
And then you drive for like a couple miles, and I'm like, okay, ready? And this is the corner.
Exactly. You drive for 10 minutes on each road to get to the corner.
Yeah.
It's a big place, big, big place. And, of course, they have a cattle operation, and you know, his mother is really into racehorses. Did very well last year with some of her horses winning some of the Breeders' Cup races. So she was in the news last year and has done pretty well in recent years with some of her racehorses. So,
well, you know, that's another thing about showing there that's so fun is that you drive all along. Our section A actually goes past the racehorse operation. So it's really pretty. You see this beautiful Normandy barn, and there's a racetrack, and it's a beautiful piece of property. And I just feel really lucky when I get to drive there.
And the cattle, you know, he was talking about the cattle. They have a lot of cattle there, you know, and it seems kind of weird, doesn't it? Always struck me as kind of a strange thing that they would have this big racehorse operation, and you also see cattle on the property, all different kinds of cattle, too.
Yeah. And, you know, across the street from where the cattle lives, mm-hmm. that side on 40, there used to be someone that had camels.
There still is. They still have a couple of camels.
Oh, they do?
Yeah, they have a couple camels. They had a couple zebras out the other day. They have a couple emus. And I don't know if they do, they might, you know, go do little fairs and stuff. I don't know. But they still have some out. People are always stopping there to take pictures. Because they keep them out in the front pasture, so you can, they're right along 40.
Yeah, that's what I love about Ocala. You're in the city, and then all of a sudden you, bam, you're in horse farms and wild animal parks.
Well, and something they did here, too, and we missed it. I didn't know about it. On Monday, this is the second one this summer, this winter, rather. On Monday, they had, there's the OBS sale here, which is the Ocala Breeder Supply, has big auctions here. And they have auctions here that sell thoroughbred racehorses in all ages and things. And but they also have a racetrack there, but they hardly ever used it. They used it for training. Mm-hmm. Well, this year was the first time they actually held live paramutual races there.
Oh.
And they held another race card on Monday. We would have went out if we had known about it.
Oh, that would have been
fun.
We
missed it, yeah. So apparently it drew thousands of people. So I think they'll keep doing that. And apparently it's like got a country fair kind of atmosphere, and people go out and watch the stand along the rail and watch the races. I think that'd be a blast.
Maybe you could drive into the infield.
I don't think they were doing tailgating yet, but we might start that. Well, thank you everybody for joining us. We really appreciate it. As I said, next week's show will come out a little bit late. And don't forget to join us on Horses in the Morning. We have our Wednesday morning. We have the Wheel of Trivia. You can call and play the Wheel of Trivia every Wednesday morning and win great prizes. Hundreds of dollars of prizes on the wheel. All you have to do is answer one trivia question, and we'll spin the wheel for you. That's every Wednesday morning at horsesinthemorning.com. You can find out all the information over there. Well, Wendy, we'll see you next week in Ocala, down the street from me.
All right. See you later. And until then, keep the shiny side up.